We come again to you with our studies in the book of Revelation, and we're right at the end of the book. We've been dealing the last three or four lessons on chapters 21 and chapter 22. And we were closing last time in our lesson with respect to the condition of the saved and the condition of the unsaved through eternity. And I want to tell you, my friend, it's very, very serious business for one to accept the Savior or for one to reject the Savior. If we accept the Lord Jesus Christ and the divine provision He has made for us to be cleansed from sin and fitted for the presence of God, it means eternal life, eternal glory, to live eternally in complete, perfect, intimate fellowship with the living God in the holy city, where God dwells in the midst of His people, where you have no need for the sun or for the moon, for God and the Son of God are the light of it. And it's an eternal condition. If I reject the Savior, then my destination is determined. And it's an eternal condition. There's no hope of a second or third chance. My friend, let's be very realistic about this thing. When one rejects the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, what is there left? What hope do you have? To die in your sins, and then what? Stand in the presence of a righteous God, and to hear Him say, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I don't know you." It's a terrible thing. It's an eternal thing. As we had in chapter 22 and verse 11, "Let him that is unjust be unjust still. Let him that is filthy be filthy still. Let him that is righteous be righteous still. Let him that is holy be holy still." Now shall we go on with this, the last of the chapter 22 of Revelation. And I'm going to speak for a few moments, first of all, about the sureness of His return. And there are three verses here that give it to us. In chapter 22, verse 7, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." In verse 12, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." Verse 20, "He which testifieth these things says, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus." Now, remember in the beginning of the book of Revelation, the very first chapter, about the seventh and eighth verses we have, where the Lord says the Lord's going to come. Do you remember that first chapter, where it speaks, "If every eye shall see him, behold, he cometh with clouds. Every eye shall see him, they also which pierced him. And all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I'm the Alpha and the Omega," and so on. Now, this was his coming to the earth in judgment. The very beginning of the chapter, he's coming in judgment to judge the nations of the earth. But when you come to chapter 22, he's not dealing with the coming in judgment. He's exhorting his people to live in continual anticipation of his return. And this ought to be the very watchword of every Christian. Like, for example, in Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, we read about these idolaters who had turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven, even Jesus, whom He raised from the dead, who hath delivered us from the coming wrath. The one thought they were living in expectation of the coming of the Savior. Whether you talk about the translation or He's coming to the earth to reign, or the new heavens and the new earth. But here you have Him exhorting, having revealed to us the wonders of a new heaven and a new earth, the wonders of a new Jerusalem and the eternal condition of saved and non-saved. Now you have His final word. First of all, in verse 7, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." You remember in the very first chapter, there was a blessing to those who read and obeyed the word of God. And that still stands good. He's reminding us of this. "Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Why? "Because I'm coming quickly." Now we come on down to verse 12. Verse 12. "And behold, I come quickly." and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. And you remember, he's going to come to the earth. The first time he's going to come to the earth, which is what we're looking for, is coming for the church, and then he's come to the earth as a judge. He's going to come in a brief moment of time. When he say he comes quickly, he's right there. He's right on the job. In an hour that you think not, said the Lord, the Son of Man comes. The same thing here. He exhorts us not to waste time, but to keep our eyes on the glory, because he's going to come quickly when you least expect it. And he said, my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Do you remember in Thessalonians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul could say to these Thessalonians, are not even ye my crown of joy and rejoicing at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, do you remember Paul had said, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith, there is therefore laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing. And every one who hath this hope set on him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. You remember this. You have the same thing in 1 Peter chapter 5, where it speaks of the fact, when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory. In other words, you have the rewarding of God's people at the coming of the Savior. And the book of Revelation ends up reminding us that the Lord is right at the door. He's going to come and reward his people. If he's coming, and we're sure he's coming, then I ought to obey the word of God. Now we come down to verse 20. And here we have the final one. He which testified these things, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The next thing on the program of God is the coming of our Savior. It may take place today. Do you know there are some Christians who believe that your church is going to go through the tribulation? If that is so, then they're looking for the coming of Antichrist. But I'm reminded of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, which says, that day, the day of the Lord, shall not come until the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped. He demands worship. It's what you have in chapter 13 of Revelation. The beast is going to come and reign over men, and men are going to worship the beast. Are you waiting for that? I don't see why Christians should even look for the coming of Antichrist and try to read the signs of the times by looking for Antichrist. I believe we should look for the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord is imminent. In fact, that's what he says here. Surely I come quickly, when you least expect it. Do you respond with John? Even so, Lord. Amen. So come, Lord Jesus. Just like you have in Hebrews chapter 10, 37. He that shall come will come and will not tarry. My friend, listen, I can't guarantee that you and I will live today out. You can't guarantee tomorrow. In fact, we who love the Savior ought to be living in continual anticipation of seeing him, as dear Peter wrote, whom having not seen, we love. He may come today. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing? Now, I know some Christians would like the Lord to come to get them out of their troubles. I've had Christians say, my, I wish the Lord would come. I wish the Lord would come. What's the matter? Are you in trouble? Or do you wait for the coming of the Lord? Do you look for his appearing because you love him? These early Thessalonian idolaters who had been redeemed, they waited. They lived in anticipation of the coming of the Savior. As Paul called it, our blessed hope. Oh, what a day. What an hour that's going to be. And it may be today. And if I might be allowed to say this, when I see the condition among the nations today, when I see the world, the whole world, preparing for the coming of the man of sin, even our own, in our own country, in our own government, the preparations, You can just see it as clear as possible, clear as can be. Our nation could easily go into a dictatorship. And this is what the Antichrist is going to do. He's going to be a dictator over the Western nations. And they'll be glad for him to bring in peace, a false peace, with no foundation. And I tell you, my friend, before that is manifested, the Lord Jesus can come. May I remind you again, please, you watch this situation in the Near East. Because the program of God for the earth, for the nation, is wrapped up in Israel. And God is gathering them to his own country. It's true, they're gathered, possibly many of them, in unbelief. And God's going to deal with that. God's going to purge out of her rebels. There's no question about this. But nevertheless, you and I are seeing things that have not happened for nearly 2,000 years. And the word of God is being fulfilled. And you ought to lift up your head, for you know your redemption draweth nigh. Let us redeem the time. As I was saying to some of the students the other day, you know, you'll not be winning souls in heaven. You'll not be experiencing the power of God in heaven. Or you take in chapters 21, 22 of Revelation, where we have the new Jerusalem, the new heavens, and the new earth. There are no sinners there. No one to be redeemed. They're all redeemed. They're all saved. Even the very nations are saved. Soul winning is now. Experiencing the power of God in testing is now. You can have experiences now you'll never have in heaven. Oh, listen, Christian friend, don't miss it. Please don't miss it. Take every opportunity of bearing testimony for the Savior, for the night is soon upon us when no man shall work. And the Lord Jesus may come today. I just sincerely hope that your heart and my heart will respond to dear John when Jesus said, surely the very last exhortation in the whole Bible, surely I come quickly, a statement of fact. I know what the world says. I know what false teachers say. As 2 Peter 3 says, in the last days, there shall come scoffers, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. And of this they are willingly ignorant. The world is willingly ignorant. But that doesn't change the fact the Lord is really at the door. And the very last word is to you and to me, surely, behold, surely I come quickly. And if ever, I say this very kindly, I say it realistically, if ever there was a time in my life as a Christian that I believed the Lord was at hand, it's now. I never dreamed I would live to the time to see the things that are happening today. And we can lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. For he that shall come, and will not tarry. So you mark those three things. In verse 7, blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Why? Because he's at hand. In verse 12, he's going to come with his rewards. He's going to come quickly. And his final word and John's response in verse 22, surely I come quickly. Now, let me just close with the last appeal which we have in the book. In verse 17 of chapter 22, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Notice three times in the verse, the Spirit of God is pleading with men. The door is still open. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that's thirsty come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. I'm reminded of that verse in Isaiah 55:1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come, ye come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. God is saying to you, come. You know, Matthew chapter 11, Jesus said, verse 28, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He is still saying, come. in chapter 4 of John. He said to the woman at the well, if you knew who was talking to you, you would ask of him. He would give you living water. Well, where have you got it? And Jesus said, he that drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But he that drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And my friend, the Lord is still pleading with you. He's still pleading with you and saying, come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is thirsty, come. And whosoever will, that lets you in, my friend. It lets you in. I don't care how sinful you are. I don't care how much of a rascal you are. I don't care what your condition is. If you're thirsty for reality, whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. And Jesus said, I am the water of life. Oh, that you might accept the Savior. While it is still called today, remember, he says, surely I come quickly. But he's still waiting for you. Why doesn't the Lord come? Why doesn't the Lord hurry up and come? Because maybe he's talking to you today. He wants you to accept the Savior. You might be the last one that shall make up the body of Christ. Oh, friend, don't turn him down. Come. Now, having said that, I must also give you the last warning in verses 18 and 19. And the final warning is this. In verse 18, I testify to every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. The final warning, you're not to add to his word, you are not to take from his word. And I know there are those who add to the word of God. We have those who have different books who say these are additions to the word of God. We have some men on the radio, for example, who claim that they've got a final word from God. No, the word of God is complete. Now, I'm not going to discuss the question whether he means this book of Revelation. Primarily, maybe it does mean this book of Revelation. You need to add to it or to take from it. By the same principle, you can't add to the word of God or take from the word of God. And believe me, my friend, if God has given to us a communication, God will take care of his communication. And I thoroughly believe in the inerrancy of Scripture because it's God's book. And if it's God's book, then God is going to take care of his own book. The heaven and earth may pass away, but his word will never pass away. And as the 119th Psalm declares in the 89th verse, his word is forever settled in heaven. So may I just say it to you in closing, read this book of Revelation through again, the whole 22 chapters, and remember that we are still living in the day of grace. We've just been dealing with a new heavens and a new earth, which is way ahead of us. We've been talking about the kingdom when the Lord's going to reign. Then we go back to chapters 4 through 19, and we see the judgments of God upon men and upon the world and upon the nations. And I come back to you today and say, the Spirit and the bride say, come. If I'm talking to any unsaved person today, I plead with your heart, while it is still called today, and because the Lord is right at the door, oh friend, you do not have very much more time. Please accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior and pass from death to life. And to those of you who love the Savior, may I give you this final word? The Lord Jesus said, surely I come quickly. He's going to come in a moment of time. As Corinthians chapter 15 says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. Remember this, the Lord is even at the door. What manner of men, what manner of women ought we to be, but as those who expect their Lord to come? And while we wait his return, may we communicate to the unsaved the wonderful good news of a Savior who can save not only from the guilt of sin and the penalty of sin, but can also save them from the power and the very presence of sin, which he will do at his return. Now may the Lord bless you in your study of this book, and may your heart be filled with a real devotion for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is a real Savior and a real Lord. And the Lord bless you for his name's sake.